In 2010, New York took the then historic step of passing a law allowing victims of human trafficking to vacate prostitution-related criminal convictions directly tied to their victimization in recognition of the unjust nature of those convictions. Subsequently, more than 24 states have followed in our footsteps, with some even going further, but New York is poised to potentially catch up. To explain the legislation that recently made its way through the Capitol and the broader issue of human trafficking, we're joined by the Legal Aid Society's Lee Latimer and Abby Swenstein, who are part of the organization's Exploitation Intervention Project. Welcome to the show, Lee.
Hello, David. Thank you for having us.
And hello, Abby.
Hi, David. Thank you for having us.
So for starters, can you help listeners understand more about what human trafficking in New York looks like? For example, how prevalent is it? What does it involve? Who does it involve? Are there any sort of generalities?
Before I answer that question, I wanted to put into context some of our expertise and what we at the Exploitation Intervention Project at the Legal Aid Society do. We are public defenders, and we specialize in representing sex workers, trafficking survivors, and victims of gender-based violence in the criminal legal system. Our project was launched in 2013, and since then, we've really spent a considerable amount of time working and advocating for this law in particular, and representing people that are charged with a whole host of crimes within the criminal legal system. To define what a victim of trafficking is, you can look at two definitions. You can either look at the federal definition or the New York State definition. So someone is a victim of trafficking when they've been compelled to engage in any form of labor under force, fraud, or coercion. There's sex trafficking, which is when one is compelled to engage in sex work by force, fraud, or coercion. But there's also labor trafficking, which encompasses every other form of work. And what we see is that there's labor trafficking in many, many sectors: agriculture work, domestic care, nail salons. Many, many kinds of sectors have labor trafficking, including illegal employment sectors beyond prostitution. So there is labor trafficking, for example, in drug manufacturing and distribution. What we advocates know is that if something is work, you can be trafficked into it. And we've learned two critical things, you know, over the past 10 years, which really brings us to the importance of amending this law. We know that trafficking victims are routinely arrested and prosecuted for crimes that they are compelled to engage in, and that many trafficking victims have criminal records beyond prostitution, especially those that are trafficked into non-sex work sectors.
It's interesting to hear you talk about the broad way in which human trafficking can manifest itself, because I think whether it's through pop culture or news reports, I think a lot of the ideas that we have as a society about human trafficking stem from the idea that it's just sex trafficking, and that it's people from maybe Southeast Asia who are being trafficked, or from Latin American countries. Are those perceptions reflective of reality, or is it more complicated than that?
It's a lot more complicated than that. I think that, you know, we should never trust what's in pop culture to be the truth. Trafficking impacts vulnerable people. So whether that is children in foster care, LGBT homeless youth, people that don't have immigration documentation, disabled people. You know, what we see is that we have clients that are United States citizens that have particular vulnerabilities that put them at risk of trafficking, and non-citizens that have vulnerabilities that put them at risk of trafficking. Our project has represented men. Our project has represented women. A large portion of our client base right now are trans women. This, you know, misconception that it, you know, it's most likely going to be someone from Southeast Asia, or, you know, many times I've heard from, you know, from the Eastern Bloc countries. That just isn't what we see bear out in our practice. The people that we serve are a very diverse group of people.
So the 2010 law deals with survivors of human trafficking who have prostitution-related crimes and enabling them to have those vacated. What kind of convictions would be covered by the legislation that's been approved by both houses of the legislature and still needs Governor Cuomo's signature?
So this bill would allow a trafficking victim to move to vacate any type of conviction that they can prove is related to their trafficking. So there are no limitations on the type of criminal offense that is eligible to be considered for vacature. And, you know, the reason why this legislation is so important, as Abby said, that we've learned through our practice and our representation of clients, that someone can be trafficked into any type of behavior. And honestly, traffickers are extremely creative in what they force their clients to do and how they recruit them and how they force them to engage in various types of labor, including criminal conduct. So it's really important that this law cover all types of criminal conviction, because without that, trafficking victims who are victims, and let's be clear, this is not a bill that's providing a remedy for criminals. This is a victim's rights bill, because human trafficking victims are survivors. They're not criminals. And that's what this bill does recognize.
So we've kind of walked through the headline of this bill. Are there any other potential benefits maybe buried deeper in the coverage that we haven't gotten to yet?
I think one thing that goes unrecognized or has gone unrecognized is the burdens that victims of labor trafficking have suffered. And while technically labor trafficking was added to the 2010 legislation sometime later, it only allowed victims of labor trafficking to vacate prostitution-related convictions. So if they were being sex trafficked, they were sex trafficking victims. So this bill allows a full remedy for victims of labor trafficking, which they previously did not have. And I can actually tie this into a client that we have who was recruited from Eastern Europe. She was recognized for her vulnerabilities as a teenager whose parents had neglected and abused her. She was about to become homeless, and she was recruited by someone who, you know, was pretending to be a potential romantic partner. He then offered her the opportunity for a good job in the United States, that she could come here and make the money that she needed to get back home and have a safe place to live and maybe go to college. But when she arrived in the United States, she found that she was part of a trafficking ring that was being forced to use false identification to pick up, packages being delivered to either a FedEx office or people's homes. And she ended up being arrested for larceny in connection with that trafficking. And what she found when she got here and was, you know, in this trafficking experience, if she wasn't successful in picking up the packages she'd been ordered to pick up, she would be subjected to violence. Sometimes she was subjected to sexual violence. And so she had an awful experience. She was trafficked, but she had no defense to the crime of grand larceny. And as of right now, she has no eligibility to vacate the conviction that resulted from her trafficking experience. The other thing that this bill recognizes, which would apply to immigrant victims, is that the bill makes clear that this remedy is based on the merits of the vacature of the conviction, meaning that there had been some interpretations of the 2010 law that this was a rehabilitative statute, that people were allowed to have their convictions vacated because they had somehow rehabilitated themselves. But what in fact this bill does, and even the original bill does, was recognized that people had been forced to engage in criminal behavior, that they were not at fault in that. And so the language in this current bill makes clear that these convictions are being vacated on the merits in recognition that they never should have been convicted in the first place, which provides a greater protection for immigrant clients.
You're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're talking about legislation to support survivors of human trafficking. And our guests are Lee Latimer and Abby Swenstein of the Legal Aid Society's Exploitation Intervention Project. What is the threshold for proving, A, that you are a survivor of human trafficking, and B, that the convictions that you are trying to have vacated stem from your human trafficking?
So in order for a trafficking victim to go about vacating a criminal conviction, they have to work with a lawyer who would create a motion And the law provides that the person moving to vacate their conviction has the burden. The burden is a preponderance of the evidence, meaning that the client has to bring some evidence showing that they're a victim of human trafficking, and then showing that that human trafficking is what resulted in their criminal conviction. So typically, these motions are very heavily supported by the factual statements of our clients. We sometimes have actual statements of witnesses, although not so often. If a client's experienced physical violence at the time of their trafficking, we try to provide medical documentation if that's available to prove that. And sometimes clients have cooperated in the prosecution of their traffickers. And so we have that type of evidence to support the motion. And in terms of the work that we've done for sex trafficking victims and their prostitution convictions, we've actually been very successful in drafting those motions. They've been very persuasive, such that prosecutors typically do consent to our motions, and that there's no formal litigation. But having said that, this is a legal court process in which the person with the conviction has to start the process and move for it. If the prosecutor feels that we haven't met our burden, then they have a right to respond to that motion. And then it's the court's responsibility to make a decision on the motion. There could be a hearing where testimony is taken so that the court can make findings of fact in making the legal determination as to whether the victim has made their case to connect their conviction to their trafficking.
This is a victim's rights bill, but it is also a bill that empowers judges to be able to look at more information and make a broader decision if they feel that the move-ins, the client that we're representing, has met their burden of showing that they are a trafficking survivor and that their conviction resulted from the trafficking. The way the law currently stands is judges can't offer that relief to survivors that have non-prostitution convictions. There have been judicial decisions where a judge has said, like, I recognize that this person is a trafficking survivor. I recognize that this conviction is a result of their trafficking, but I'm bound by what the law says I can do. And I think that it's important to think about this law in that it is giving judges the ability to do something that they haven't been able to do in the past, and that some judges have felt would be the just outcome for the survivor that's before them.
Well, hearing you talk about the role of judiciary, the role that prosecutors can play, the challenge I imagine that trafficking victims are going to have in just of finding attorneys to bring up this issue seems to run very counter to the argument made by Assembly Republicans during the floor debate, in which one of them described this measure as the, quote, sex victims get out of jail free card. What do you think of that description, and what do you think of the reservations more broadly brought up by Assembly Republicans, the vast majority of whom voted against this bill?
The first thing that I would like to make clear is that some of the arguments made during the Assembly debate confused what this bill is. And it was discussed as if it were a defense to a pending criminal case. And that is not what this bill is. It doesn't create a trafficking defense. There actually is a very limited trafficking defense that is in the law now, but it does not pertain. It pertains to a very narrow type of offense. It's very limited. This is actually a post-conviction remedy for trafficking survivors that allows them to vacate a conviction. And I have to say it's really offensive, some of the language that was used during that debate, where, yes, it was described as a sex trafficking victims get out of jail free, because it completely fails to recognize that these individuals are victims. They're not criminals. They're forced to engage in this criminal conduct, but for their trafficking, they would not have been engaging in this criminal conduct.
Assuming this piece of legislation becomes law, what else could New York be doing for survivors of human trafficking? I have to imagine just access to more legal help would probably be a good start.
You know, what we hear time and time again from our clients is about the dire housing situation in the state, especially in the New York City area where Lee and I practice. In 2016, we wrote a report with the Urban Institute called Policing Prostitution. And we had surveyed many of our clients to ask them, you know, what are some of the barriers to stability for them? And an overwhelming majority pointed to lack of affordable housing opportunities as a major vulnerability for them. And I would say that that continues to this day, that many of our clients find themselves in vulnerable situations and in exploitive situations because they don't have a place to live that they can afford. And so this runs the gamut from our clients that leave home, you know, at an early age to people that are still really struggling with stable and safe housing, you know, up through their 40s and 50s.
So if there are listeners who might be survivors of human trafficking who have convictions that they might want to get vacated in the future, or if there's people in New York who might be aware of human trafficking and they want to alert someone to it, or they just want to help the cause that you guys are doing with the Legal Aid Society, is there anyone that they should contact or any phone number that they should call?
So for anyone who has criminal convictions that they'd like to see, if you know, related to a trafficking experience, they can go to the Legal Aid Society's website and find the Exploitation Intervention Project page, and there is information on how to contact us to be assessed for a vacature motion.
And that's legalaidnyc.org. Well, we've been speaking with the Legal Aid Society's Lee Latimer and Abby Swenstein, who are part of the organization's Exploitation Intervention Project. Lee, Abby, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, David.
Yeah, thank you for having us, David.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.